arrive here at a critical moment.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Urio.
We are your TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. Brandi, we've been off for a while, but we're back. How's it going?
We are back. I'm so excited. I missed recording.
I've missed talking TV with you. Now, loyal listeners will know that normally we have a guest, and we bring on a guest to talk about their top six shows of all time based on what we call the BFF criteria, where BFF stands for best, favorite, and forever shows. But this episode's a bonus episode. We don't have a guest. We're kind of throwing it back to old school, just Brandi and I talking about some shows with a bit of a different twist this time.
A little bit of a different twist. So if you haven't listened already, Dan and I have revealed our personal BFF criteria. So you should definitely go and check that episode out.
That's right.
But today what we want to do is take the BFF criteria and apply it to stuff that's on now. Like, we want to give you some good recommendations for shows. Like, we may have not been recording, but we have still been watching TV. Dan, more than me. But I have been watching TV.
We've been watching a lot. And Brandi, you've been watching a lot as well. Don't sell yourself short.
I have been watching a lot. But I feel like when I'm watching stuff for work, it doesn't really count as like watching stuff. But
yeah,
I have been watching a lot.
I think I mentioned this on one episode. I can't remember if it made the cut, but I've been like logging everything that I watch. Mm. Even if I'm watching for work, I still log it. You still watch that thing. It's still content, you know? But yeah, as Brandi mentioned, we have revealed our own personal BFF criteria as our best, favorite, and forever list. We also did a couple different versions of that. We did an incredible BIPOC BFF, a criteria of color. We did a season finale criteria that was kind of like a criteria draft based on the whole first season. So definitely encourage you all to go back and listen to that first season if you haven't already. We had tons and tons of great guests.
It's really good.
It's good. It's so good. And it was so much fun and we missed it so much. Here we are at this bonus episode. So just like Brandi mentioned, what we're going to do is talk about more recent shows. We're calling it the current criteria. And if you know anything about the show or the criteria, we pick a couple best, favorites, and forevers. And with new stuff, obviously, it's going to be tricky to put anything in the forever category because by nature, this is all pretty recent or newer shows. So we're actually going to forego the forever category, but we can't let our BFFs hang. So we are going to have a second F, and we'll get to that towards the end. We won't reveal it quite yet, but we'll talk about some bests. We'll talk about some favorites in recent shows, and then we'll reveal what that final F is going to be, but that'll be for a little bit later.
Awesome. All right. Well, Dan, do you want to jump right to it, or do we want to talk about like what we've been up to?
Yeah, let's do like we normally do, like with our guests. We'll do almost shows. So before we get to the criteria, just kind of like a bit of a background or an overview or run through. So these don't quite need to be almost shows, but just kind of like, you know, quick thoughts on shows that we've been watching that didn't make our current criteria, but we watched it and we wanted to mention it. So like, I know I've been watching a bunch. Let's see. The Challenge, obviously, I don't think we need to go into depth. We talk about The Challenge quite a bit on this podcast. We refer you back to any number of episodes for our thoughts on The Challenge, but that's been on. Ted Lasso season 2 was on. I watched that and really enjoyed it. We've mentioned that show a bunch, so I left it out of my criteria. Rick and Morty, I also have caught up on now.
Oh.
Last we recorded, I was kind of halfway through. I've caught up. Absolutely loved it. Again, not going to make the criteria because I feel like it. Bit of a recency bias, and we've talked about it a whole bunch, but so that's some recent stuff. 9 Perfect Strangers was a show that was kind of on as we were ended up there a couple months back.
It was in like that White Lotus vein. I read the book and didn't love it.
Did you watch both 9 Perfect Strangers and White Lotus, or one or the other?
No, I watched White Lotus, loved it. Dressed up for Halloween as Armand and Belinda, and I made my daughter, I put some eyebrows on her and gave her a bag, and she was Paula for a picture. But anyway, no, 9 Perfect Strangers I did not watch because I read the book and I didn't really enjoy the book. And so I was like, why are they making a show out of this?
Yeah, I didn't really enjoy the show, to be quite honest. I think we've gotten to the point of the David E. Kelly, Nicole Kidman duo, tandem kind of creative, you know, partnership there. We're seeing diminishing returns. The third time out, I'm like, we really could have done without this one, guys. What are we doing here?
Yeah, that's, well, I'm glad that I didn't waste my time.
What about you? What have you been watching?
For me, I have been watching The Challenge, but I've fallen off of The Challenge a little bit. This season has been a little challenging for me. And I'm not sure why, because I was really liking it at the beginning. And then I don't know. It hasn't been hitting the right way for me, but obviously I'm going to finish it out. I am super excited about all the HBO shows that have come back. Insecure for its final season has been hitting it out of the park. Curb, I've been laughing at. And Succession is, just like the best show ever. It's so good. I look forward to it every week. Nothing happens in this show.
Yeah, right? It's like they just continue to, just new depths of awfulness are revealed for everybody involved, you know?
Yeah.
I too have been on the HBO shows. Not going to make a criteria mid-season a little bit. And also too, like, I don't think we're breaking new ground to say you should check out Succession. You should check out Curb Your Enthusiasm. I think people know pretty well enough by now.
Like, obviously, like if you're not watching those, like, I mean, what are you watching? A lot of people really love Yellowstone. I haven't watched, so I can't judge.
My mom just started. She asked me for a recommendation. She's like, have you seen Yellowstone? I'm like, I haven't, but I think you'll like it. She was big into Godless, that miniseries a couple years back. I mean, who doesn't love Kevin Costner, especially if you're of a certain generation or anything, like, you know what I mean? So I understand that Yellowstone is a big deal, but it has not been a big deal to me in any way.
No, me neither. I have got to tip of the hat to the Housewives this season. Like, Bravo thought you'd lost it, because like Atlanta and New York, it was like, what's going on here? OC, like, I didn't even bother to tune in. New Jersey didn't even bother to tune in. Beverly Hills, Salt Lake City, Potomac. Wow. Talk about learning from your mistakes.
Is that the trifecta these days? Are those the top three?
Yes. So good. And those also are the ones that are on right now. But like, Beverly Hills had the whole Erica Jane story driving this season, which I thought it would get on my nerves. But like, I'm so here for it. They brought in Kathy Hilton, who knew she's reality TV gold. I guess we should have. She's the mother of Paris.
Fair.
And Potomac, it's just the dynamic of the women is so good and awful. And Salt Lake City, I mean, a woman is about to get arrested on camera, like, by the feds.
Yikes.
And the way that they have set her up, like, so we've been waiting the whole season. We got a taste of it at the very beginning that this was going to go down. And this is finally the episode that it happens. And the way they set her up, it's amazing. The editors deserve all of the awards. I don't know why they don't win more.
Oh, I love that.
Because the editors on The Housewives are killing it. Like, they're doing the Lord's work.
I love seeing editors and like story producers shine. That's my favorite part of the process. If you're just jumping in, if this is your first TV BFF episode, Brandy and I are both reality TV development, unscripted executives. And yeah, that's my favorite part, is putting the edit together, being in the room, figuring out what the story is. And when you see it, when you see a great example of that, you know, kind of reflected back at you, it's like, it's wonderful.
Yeah. No, it's really great. I've been watching a lot of true crime stuff, which I'd kind of given up on for a while because it just got a little like too dark, but I'm back. Back, everyone.
All right, she's back.
And like, true crime, and I don't know if you, but are cults true crime? Because like, I've been really into the HBO Max
doc
about the woman who was losing weight for Jesus. I'm forgetting her name. She's got crazy blonde hair.
Oh, I've seen the poster. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Worth checking out.
Okay.
If you have HBO Max, just sit there. You will see, when you see her, you will know. That's what you want to be watching.
Okay. All right. I like it. I know exactly. I can picture it in my mind's eye. I know exactly like the tile, as you describe. You know what I mean? Like the HBO Max tile. Yeah. Is there anything else you've just been kind of watching? Do you want to get in some like to little almost shows, maybe things that we liked but didn't quite make the list? I have a couple.
Yeah, let's do it.
I have a couple. Yeah. Speaking of true crime, did you check out Only Murders in the Building on Hulu?
I haven't. It is on my list. It's got a big check mark by it. I do want to see it.
It was super fun. So if you're not familiar, Only Murders in the Building is starring Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez as three neighbors in this apartment building at which there is a murder. And then they start a true crime podcast to investigate said murder. and they're inspired by kind of like a Sarah Koenig character who's played by Tina Fey in the show, which is super fun. And it's great. Like, it's funny. I think Steve Martin had like a big hand in like crafting the show, actually, but like heartwarming and interesting and propulsive. And it wasn't my favorite thing or the best thing I've seen, but I really enjoyed it. And I watched it kind of like during spooky season. So like, it was kind of like crimey, and a lot of the visuals are kind of like, you know, it's very New York fall kind of vibes, which is really nice. So I dug that one. I would check it out.
Okay. I have been watching a lot of Netflix, and this is interesting for a couple reasons.
Okay.
Usually I'm very overwhelmed by Netflix.
Same.
So I only go on if I know what I want to watch. Like, I'm watching Big Mouth. I'm watching BoJack. I don't go into Netflix thinking what to watch today.
Yeah.
But I have been trying to really go to all of the different streaming services and just see what's going on. And that's in part because I love TV, and also in part because of what I do for a living. I need to keep up with what's out there.
Exactly.
And I feel like I wasn't for a while. But I really have gotten into this show that I'm so surprised that I'm into it. Cause I don't usually, I mean, I love kids baking on food, but like, I don't usually love like food competition shows, like outside of like Chopped.
Okay.
But this show is called Crazy Delicious, and it's a food competition show, and the whole set is edible.
Oh, fuck. That's cool.
And they just make really weird, crazy things. Like, I thought it was like a dessert thing, but then she was making these weird like banana nachos, and I was like, what?
Does the food look good?
It does look good.
Okay. Banana nachos does not sound appealing.
I don't think that looks good.
Okay.
But for the most part, what they're making looks good. But they the other thing, like, the show is just ridiculous. The judges are the gods. So they're wearing all white, the gods. One of them is Carla from Top Chef. Remember Carla?
Yeah, I love Carla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's, I mean, I love to see this for her, like, because she should be getting all the work, but
yeah,
the judges are the gods. And then there's like this, the host is like this, this British lady that kind of, I don't like, doesn't really know how to cook, but is also just always eating off of the set.
I love that.
But anyway, it's a fun, it's an easy watch, and like it's a visually pleasing watch.
I was just gonna say, should you be stoned watching this? Should you be a little bit lifted going into this show?
You could be, but like, I watched it during work hours. It was riveted.
It's funny you mentioned like Top Chef and food competition. There was a food competition show, very Top Chef related, actually, that I've been obsessed with, actually. There was also in kind of my almost category. I didn't quite make it to the criteria, but it's a Top Chef spinoff. It's called right. Top Chef Family Style. It's also streaming on Peacock.
Okay.
And so I was curious, just because of the brand, I will check out anything that Top Chef does. I love Just Desserts when Gail hosted that a while back, but it's cool. It's not, so there's also another spinoff that they did recently called Top Chef Amateurs. I didn't like as much because they're all standalone episodes. And I just can't get into a standalone Top Chef experience. The stakes aren't there for me. But Top Chef Family Style is arced. It starts with like, you know, 10 or 12 teams, but it's a kid, little shades of kids baking here, and a family member. So a lot of times parent, but sometimes sibling and uncle, that sort of thing. And it's awesome. The kids are like between the ages of like, I want to say maybe like 11 and like 14. So they have some skill, and it's great. Megan Trainor hosts it, and she's really fun. A picky eater, you can tell, but she's like working through it, and she's like learning to eat more stuff, which is also kind of like a fascinating side journey. Marcus Samuelson is the head judge, and he's just wonderful. Love him.
Yeah, I love him.
And it's great. Like, and I was worried, like, is the food actually going to be good? But the food looks astounding. These fucking kids can bring it. So I'm like, I see some of these plates, I'm like, this could be on legit Top Chef. These kids need to be cast in like 2 or 3 years to like be on the mothership, because it's fucking impressive. So I'm really digging Top Chef Family Style. If you're a Top Chef fan, check it out, Peacock.
Okay. I watched like I did whatever free trial you can get of Peacock, or what you can watch like one episode for free.
Right.
And I watched the Girls 5 Eva, which I enjoyed.
Oh, heard that was good. I haven't seen that yet. All right. You ready to get into the criteria? What are some best and favorites?
Let's get into it.
Okay. I'm gonna start with one because I have a feeling that maybe it might also be on your list as well. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say the best show, the best drama that I've seen recently is Squid Game.
100%.
Is it your best as well?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah, it is. All right, see, yeah. We still got it. We're still in tune.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. You mentioned Halloween costumes. Wasn't there also a Squid Game Halloween costume in your recent history?
There was a Squid Game Halloween costume. Yes, I did what everyone else across America did. I decided to dress my toddler up as player 456.
Which made it way better. By the way, yeah, really awesome.
I dressed him up as player 456 because I got to like make his costume because my daughter was Elsa, so I couldn't make her costume, but I could make his, and so it was super cute. We played red light, green light, guys. He would have lived. Okay, he would have lived.
Good job.
My daughter out. 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 Her friends out altogether.
That's a tough age to strictly adhere to a red light, green light.
I know. I was surprised that my son like understood what it means to stop, and he would like really stop. And I was like, "Yes, Malone, yes." But yeah, no. Squid Game was, and I will say that like I went into this completely. I had no idea what it was about. Okay. A couple of people at work had mentioned that, you know, they were watching it. And like, it was kind of when it was starting to bubble to the surface of the zeitgeist.
Yeah, I was similar. Like I saw people like on trains around me watching it, but still didn't know what it was about.
Yeah.
When I started.
And so, you know, I watched the first episode and I was like, I can't watch this show. That was terrible. That was awful. And we are not going to like spoil anything for anybody like with our, you know, like with our, right, with our criteria. But you should just know that that first episode is tough.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. When you say terrible, awful, you don't mean, I don't want to speak for you, but like,
oh, yeah,
not bad, but like tough, brutal, like upsetting.
Yeah. Just brutal. So upsetting.
Yeah.
So upsetting. And not upsetting because it's like, that was terribly done. Like so upsetting because it was so real and so upsetting. That's the perfect word. I had nightmares.
Yeah.
And then my husband was like, you know what, let's just watch the second episode and see. And I was like, I'm like on my phone the whole time. I'm like, I'm not even gonna pay attention. But I will say that after the second episode, I was like, I can continue this.
Yes.
I was like,
yeah,
people had like, it's everything that went down before was absolutely awful, but I think I can keep going with this. And I'm just really happy that I did. Cause I was on the edge of my seat. Did you watch it? So this is it's a K-drama.
Yeah.
So it's all in Korean and you can either have like the subtitles on or I didn't get a choice on my Netflix for some reason. it's like dubbed voices.
Yeah.
Which are wild. And it's so crazy that the show is so good that like how terrible the American dub voices are.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Like,
so how much of it did you watch dubbed? All of it?
The entire thing.
Really? Oh, yeah. See, my Netflix also started automatically with the dub. And like, I would say like, and it's the first thing that you see. The thing is called Squid Game. And the first scene is kind of like a narrator describing this Squid Game, like this literal Squid mm-hmm. Game. And it was in English. And I'm like, wait a second. I thought this was a Korean show. So like mm-hmm. after that happened, and then I saw like the titles in Korean, I'm like, something's going on here. So I like investigated my audio and I switched it to the original Korean with English subtitles. And I'm so glad I did because those actors were phenomenal. And I would have been upset with myself if I didn't get to like hear and fully experience their performances because my God, what a cast. That cast was top to bottom, so excellent. And they were so raw with their performances and got so like deep into it. And it was such visceral performances that I'm glad that I watched the original. But it's also really cool to hear that like, and this is why it's in our best. It was such a well-crafted, well-done show that even with subpar, you know, dubbed acting, you still loved it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and you could still feel the actors' performances.
Right.
It's like, it was obvious that like, the dubs were just so, some of them were just so out of control, especially the one lady, like, you know, the lady that I'm talking about with the law, she's not the young girl, but like the like middle-aged lady. That's another kind of main character as we go forward. But anyway,
we don't want to spoil
that. I would like to see her doing her performance in Korean, because her dub voice actress was wild. Like, just
going for it.
But yeah, it was just, it was really, really, really well done. I was on the edge of my seat in every episode. You can't take your eyes away.
Yeah, and I couldn't stop. I watched it, and I think it's 9 episodes. I think I watched literally the whole thing in a day. I happened to be on a train coming back from upstate, and that's like a 5-hour train ride. So like, and it was during the day. So like, I watched like 4.5 on the train, and then got home, and it was like around dinner time. I'm gonna make dinner. I'm gonna finish this fucking show. I can't stop. You know, it was excellent.
Yeah, I did like 2 a night, but yeah, it's on Netflix. It's now opened my mind. I know that we had the wonderful Alicia Hanna on the show, and she kind of introduced me to the world of like K-dramas.
Yeah,
and I feel like now I'm in.
Yes.
I'm in. Like, yeah. I'll watch whatever. And I know that I said that I had watched Goblin and was like, I didn't really get it. I then like was talking to someone who's very, very much into Korean dramas and was like, the first episode is always kind of a wild card. You got to get to the second episode. Right. And then you just kind of keep going. Things but settle. Apparently that's like a trope with all K-dramas. So yeah. The first episode is like, what is this?
Yeah. And another thing I really like about Korean storytelling too, that really comes across, at least modern Korean storytelling, it seems like, you know, you saw this in Parasite, you see this in Squid Game, like a central theme of a lot of these stories is like the class, the battle of class, the battle of the drama between being someone who's kind of up against the economic system and is not faring well, and economic anxiety, and a lot of things that we deal with every day, and I think really, really hit. Which is what made that show, I think, so sticky with so many people. And, you know, like none of us have ever been in that sort of situation that these people find themselves in Squid Game, but we can all relate to the choice that they make to be there, kind of, you know, relating back to that second episode that hooks everyone in and kind of gives us permission to go on this journey with everybody, as brutal as it was. But yeah, masterfully done. And now the creator is already talking about he's got ideas for season 2. He's going to come back. So... all right. I love that we shared the TV BFFs, Brandy. This is why. I love it. What's your second best show?
My second best show is another show that I found on Netflix, another show that like I wouldn't have normally checked out, but I'm trying to try new things. So it's a series I think that premiered a couple of weeks ago, and it's called Bad Sport.
Bad Sport. I've never heard of this.
It's really good. It's about different sports scandals. It's like true crime, but for sports. And it's super, it's a really interesting intersection. So like the first episode is about the cheating scandal at Arizona State in the mid-90s, where like the star player was shaving points and all through like this bookie at his school, and like he made a lot of terrible choices. Like he would have gone to the NBA. He would have been a first round draft pick. And then he like fucked his life. Anyway, it's just really well done. And it's also like really interesting. It's got, it kind of puts you in the mind of like The Last Dance.
Okay. Right on.
Except there wasn't like any crime or anything going there, but like how that felt kind of like intimate, and that you were really getting this, and it also felt like very emotional, like when the players are kind of talking about their experiences.
Yeah.
It's really good. And the episodes are really varied. There's one episode that's about some shit that goes down with racing and like drug running.
Oh shit.
there's one about horse racing. I think there's like 6 episodes.
Wow. Okay. So it's a really well done sports documentary series. I love it. It feels like shades of 30 for
sports
30.
Scandal.
Sports scandal.
I feel like that. It's like, I'm always thinking about like co-viewing.
Yeah.
And it's like a perfect co-viewing experience because it's kind of got like the salacious kind of like scandal gossip that kind of is like, I feel like women gravitate towards that, especially ones that like really like the kind of the true crime stuff.
Yeah.
But then it's got like the sports stuff for the guys who probably remember when this happened or remember the outcome of it or, you know, the consequences of it and everything and how it reverberated throughout the sport. But yeah, it's on Netflix, Bad Sport. It's good.
Nice. I'm absolutely going to check that out. Absolutely. 30 for 30 was on my almost list of my own criteria way back then.
Yeah, this is like it's like 30 for 30, but a little darker.
Got it. I love it. Okay.
Yeah. What's your next best show?
Yeah. My second best show on my current criteria is something that I've sung its praises since I watched. And anytime I give someone a recommendation, it's this show. And it's a little show called Reservation Dogs. And
yes, I know
I have so many good things to say about the show. It's on Hulu, an FX on Hulu show. It's created by Sterling Harjo as well as Taika Waititi. So if you know Taika Waititi, it kind of has some of that sensibility to it, but it's kind of like Taika meets Atlanta on a Native American reservation in Oklahoma.
Okay.
And that's like the setting. It's about these like teenage group of friends on a reservation, and they're the, you know, kind of like self-proclaimed reservation dogs. That's like kind of like the name of their crew. And they like get in some petty crime, but it's all in the pursuit of saving money to eventually leave the reservation. And you learn over the course of, it's only 8 episodes, they're half hours. It's an easy watch. And it's deceptively deep. You think like, oh, okay, 8 half hours on FX. This is going to be like, you know, a comedic thing. But like a lot of FX shows, like I said, it's, you know, there is a depth to it that I just love. The characters are so well rendered. It tells the story of a community that I think a lot of people just don't know much about, that I think a lot of people assume a lot about the Native American community. And it just kind of like blew open my world to like, this is a world I want to learn more about and hear more of these types of stories. And it gets like, for a half hour show, it gets deep. It gets dark. It's sad. It's moving. It's like, it brought me to tears at certain points, but it also made me laugh like a whole hell of a lot. Like,
aho, young warrior. Looks as though you've tasted the white man's lead.
It's only paintballs.
I've had many brothers and sisters meet the same fate in my time.
Are you Crazy Horse or Sitting?
No, no, no. I'm not one of those awesome guys. No, I'm more of your, I'm more of your unknown warrior. Yeah, you know my name? William Knifeman. I was at the Battle of Little Bighorn. That's right. I didn't kill anybody. But I fought bravely. Well, I didn't actually fight. I actually didn't even get into the fight itself. But I came over that hill real rugged, like, I saw Custer like that. That yellow hair. He was sitting there. Son of the morning star, that guy right there. Fuck, I really hated him. So I went after him. But then the damn horse hit a gopher hole. Fucking rolled over and squashed me. I died there. And now I'm meant to travel the spirit world. Find lost souls like you.
Got it.
Being a warrior. It's not always easy. You and your thuggy-ass friends, what are you doing for your people? It's easy to be bad, but it's hard to be a warrior with dignity. Remember that. In my time, we gave everything. We died for our people. We died for our land. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna fight for? I'm just fucking with you. But for real, though, listen to what I said. Marinate on it. Oh.
I can't speak highly enough. I can't wait for there to be more. I wish the first season was like 20 episodes and not just 8, but it left me like really, really looking forward to more from the show. One of the best things I've seen all year.
Sold.
Yes.
To the woman on the other side of the podcast, Mike.
Yeah.
I am going to do it. The half hour and 8 episodes like is making a very compelling case.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. It's an easy one. Everybody, check out Reservation Dogs. You will not be disappointed. I promise.
Awesome.
All right. Let's move on to our favorites. We'll keep it moving. So favorite of recent watches. What's one of your favorites, Brandy?
So one of my favorites, I was very surprised that this became was one of my favorites because I wasn't expecting to like this show at all, but like I actually love it. Mm-hmm. And that is Winter House on Bravo.
Winter House. Tell me about it. I don't know this either.
It's called Winter House. So Winter House is a mashup between Summer House and Southern Charm. So Summer House is a group of friends rent a house in Montauk. What could possibly go wrong?
Sure, yeah.
And it's in like its fourth season. I watched the first season and then kind of fell off and didn't get back into it. But like everyone loves it and I get it. And it's like, if I'm not ever on a plane, like probably going to binge it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, one of those.
Southern Charm, however, I have been into for like a very long time. And is it a problematic show? Yeah. Like, is it set in Charleston and like there's not a black person to be seen? Yeah. But they're trying to course correct now.
Okay. As they're wont to do.
Yeah. It's like, yes, like two of the main characters are like direct descendants of slaveholders.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, so a few guys, two of the guys from Southern Charm, are going to a winter house in Vermont with some people from Summer House. And
now, do they organically know each other, or are they just, is this like a casting bait and switch?
I think it's a casting bait and switch, but like, I don't think that they know each other as like, you know, like they all like grew up and had friends and blah, blah, blah. But I do think that they are all like Bravo Liberties. And so now, you know what I mean? And so they hang out.
They've been on Watch What Happens Together and been to BravoCon and press junkets and shit, you know?
Yeah. And like have gotten to be friends, like how coworkers would get to be friends.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Okay. Right on.
So the relationships feel real.
Okay.
But there are some people who are just meeting everybody for the first time. Like they.
Good mix.
There's one girl, I think she's on Summer House, but then she invited like three or four people who don't know anybody. And so that's been fun to navigate.
Right.
But what I wasn't expecting to like this show because the two guys from Southern Charm are so annoying and like people from Summer House are so annoying, but like it just works. And it reminds me of like the glory days of reality TV and like the late 2000s when, you know, it was kind of like the height of like the Real World and the challenge. And like, you know, you get young people wasted in a small area.
A tale as old as time, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, hijinks are going to ensue, you guys. And I'm here for it. You know, there's drinks being thrown. There's people making really dumb, drunk arguments. Like, it's everything. And I feel like I just had kind of missed that because, you know, I feel like we're in this era of like prestige television. And it's like, obviously, like, I love the Housewives, but the Housewives are, you know, they're older ladies.
Right.
And it's just kind of nice to see like young people just. I feel so old saying young people, but you know what I mean? Cause they're not, it's not even that they're especially young. I think they're all like early to mid 30s, but like.
Right. Well, it feels like, you know, Bravo trying to take a bite out of that MTV audience that.
Yeah. There's definitely crossover there.
Yeah. I mean, shit, wasn't a Real World cast member. Isn't Cameron from Real World is on Southern Charm. Right.
Oh, Cameron was on Southern Charm. She's not anymore, but yeah, she was. But yeah, it's just fun to watch. It's fun to watch like drunk people make terrible, non-consequential decisions.
Yeah. And where's this house? Because now it feels like the perfect time of year to watch something like this, Winter House.
I think it's in Stowe or maybe it's in Burlington.
Okay, one of those.
I don't know Vermont. Stowe feels right.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. But like they do, like they go skiing and stuff. I mean, but the skiing is obviously it's arbitrary.
It's secondary.
There is a hot tub at the house. So that's all we need. By the end of the first episode, there's not one couple, but two couples making out in the hot tub.
Simultaneously?
Yes.
Classic. Yes. Yeah. Love to see it.
And no, not a one had known the other before. Not one couple.
It's almost, you know, it's like a refreshing, like, oh yeah, this is what reality used to be. And it's nice to see it, you know, get its groove back every once in a while, you know?
Yeah. So yeah. So my favorite right now is Winter House. Cause it's really just hitting on a little piece of me that I didn't know I was missing.
I like that. All right. My favorite recent watch, I'll keep it light. Another FX show, comedy. My first favorite is What We Do in the Shadows, which just wrapped its second season, coming out of spooky season somewhat recently. So I watched it in October. And I just fucking love the show. It's basically, picture The Office, but the setting is like an old Victorian house on Staten Island, populated by a group of vampires. Three, okay, like classic centuries old, turn into a bat, you know, feed on blood from humans type vampires. And then one version called an energy vampire that's basically like the guy in The Office that sucks your energy in like long, aimless conversations over lunch, right? His name is Colin Robinson. He's an energy vampire, and it's fucking hysterical. But it's another show that has some Taika Waititi influence. It actually started as a movie that he and Jemaine Clement wrote and starred in, and they were vampires, I think, in like New Zealand. But it's kind of like a shared universe sort of thing. You see their characters pop up every now and then. But it's just, it's fun. It's an easy watch. If you like kind of spooky season type stuff, it holds up all year round. Super funny. I can't stop laughing at it whenever it's on. And it's a great binge. I saved them all up and watched them all at once over like a weekend, Halloween weekend, actually. And it was super fun and one of my favorite things to do. So it's a favorite show.
Awesome. That's another one that I've been hearing about, and I need to like take the plunge and watch it.
Yeah. It's just really inventive how they deal with like, what if vampires in 2021? It's pretty fucking genius and super, super smart, super funny, super goofy. Matt Berry plays one of the vampires. He's just an absolute fucking rock star. Very, very good. Very, very fun. Okay. And like weird cameos, like Mark Hamill makes a cameo, and there's a character, his name is Guillermo, and he's like the familiar. So he's like the human that is like basically without him, you know, he like keeps the whole thing together. It's great. The dynamics are wonderful. A lot of fun twists. Good show. Good stuff.
Okay. I'm down. That's on FXX or
FX? FX. Yeah. Okay. So you can watch it on Hulu.
Okay. Awesome.
All right. What do you got? Your second favorite. And then
second favorite.
Yeah.
I have watched all of the first season, and I'm only, I think, three episodes into the second season, but I will be finishing it because it's just such a great show. I just haven't had the time. The other two.
Oh, shit. I haven't seen season two yet. Great pick. I love season one.
Yeah, it's so good. Season one was amazing. Like, I was actually really sad when it was over because that was one that I had, like, I'd saved up all the episodes, and I was like, I'm just going to binge through this.
So those who don't know, what's the other two?
So the other two is a comedy it's now on HBO Max.
Right. I think it started on Comedy Central, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's on HBO Max now, and it is about a brother and a sister who have a younger brother who's like a Justin Bieber type pop star.
Yeah. Chase Dreams.
And their mom is Molly Shannon.
Yeah.
She figures very prominently in the second season. But the older brother and sister are both very just kind of, they don't have their lives together.
Right.
And, you know, and they're tangentially involved in Chase's career. And it's just basically the show is about like the two of them. And it's just really funny. There's jokes, like, it's packed wall to wall with jokes.
Yeah, I mean, the two creators are former SNL writers, right? It's
yeah.
I'm looking it up right now, so I don't get it wrong. Chris Kelly and Sarah Schneider.
Yeah, no. I thought that Chris Kelly played Carrie, but it's not. For some reason, that's who I thought Chris Kelly was.
Oh really? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think that actor's name is Drew Tarver, right?
Yeah.
Drew Tarver, yeah. And Helene York plays the sister.
I love days where I don't have to work and I can just run errands and look like trash.
I know. I'm not even wearing underwear.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, I'm not seeing anybody I know, so why would I?
I actually probably should. My dick always pops out of these pants. Ugh, I hate walking around with toilet paper. It's so embarrassing.
Why? Everyone knows you have a butthole and poop comes out of it.
Hey, you're okay. See? She agrees.
Hey, gay.
Huh, not sure that's about your butthole, but I mean, I guess kind of.
Wait, what is going on?
Hey, you're the guy from that video.
Oh, no. Sorry, I don't think so.
Yeah, the little kid's music video about his gay brother.
What?
Oh, Care, look at this. I think I found what they're talking about.
brother's brave, my brother's wise. My brother doesn't like girls, he likes guys. He kisses men, that turns him on. And if you think that's gross, well then I think you're wrong. 'Cause I think it's cool.
Great show. Oh God, that just reminded me that like, I gotta catch up on season two, especially now knowing that Molly Shannon has a much bigger role.
Yes. Oh my God.
At the end of season one, you kind of see where it was going. I'm like, oh, this is good territory. I did that. Yeah,
she's just, Molly Shannon is a national treasure.
She can do no wrong. I don't think I've seen her in anything and said, oh no, Molly Shannon did not bring it. She always brings it.
Yeah, she really does. So Dan, what's your other favorite show?
Okay, so this is a weird one. When I say this, you're gonna be like, oh, that's your favorite? That sounds strange. And it does, but I'll tell you why. My favorite drama at the moment, and it recently finished its season, it's Impeachment of the American Crime Story anthology, the Ryan Murphy American Crime Story. The first couple seasons, the first one was The People versus OJ. The second one was The Assassination of Versace. And this one is Impeachment. It's about the Bill Clinton impeachment, but really it's about Monica Lewinsky and it's about Linda Tripp, really, is what it's about. And I could tell it was a favorite because it was one of those shows that, like, you know, when you pull up your DVR and there's certain shows that you're like, you see it and you know that, like, oh, this is coming, I'm going to watch this first, no matter what else is on the DVR. Mm-hmm. That was Impeachment.
Okay.
It got to a point where I was anticipating it and I'd be like, wait, fuck, is it Tuesday night yet? I got to see what's going on next. And I think it's because, and aging myself a little bit here, I wasn't old enough when the original, what should be called the Clinton scandal, was happening. I don't remember a lot of the specifics. I remember some like the big pillars of it. I remember the names like Ken Starr and, you know, obviously, you know, Monica Lewinsky and Linda Tripp, like the names ring a bell, but I didn't know the intricacies of the story. And I mean, talk about brutal. A lot of it's very brutal. I mean, Bill, you do not leave this show rooting for much of anybody. You're certainly not rooting for Bill Clinton, shady motherfucker with a terribly toxic behavior that gets enlightened in very interesting ways. You feel terrible for Monica. You feel sorry for Linda Tripp. Like, it doesn't leave you feeling great, but I think that was kind of the point. And I think it was really well done in that way. It didn't sugarcoat anything. Monica Lewinsky was an executive producer and had a lot to do with, you know, it's dramatized. It's not, you know, word for word. There's a lot of shit that you could tell is, you know, dramatized, fictionalized. But, you know, even Linda Tripp, she's passed away, but her daughter, who is a part on the show, mentioned, like, I wish my mother were alive to see this portrayal of her, even though it wasn't very kind. It was humanizing. You could see that, like, she was a patriot who just thoroughly believed that what the president was doing was wrong. And it was, and kind of got fanatical about bringing him down. But, whew, just very layered story that I didn't realize how many layers there were outside of, you know, like the SNL bits and the late night jokes. So for that, I really appreciate it. And like I said, it became something I anticipated, and that's the mark of a favorite show.
It's true.
You know, did you watch? Are you interested in watching that?
I didn't watch. I'm kind of interested in watching, but not interested enough to have like sought it out. Like but I would watch it if it was on, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, because that whole story for me, so I was in high school, I guess, when that happened. So I knew what was going on. It was where I actually learned what oral sex meant.
Right.
Like, I obviously knew what that was, but I didn't know that that's what it was called.
Right.
And I remember being very confused. I was like, what's oral sex? And I asked my mom and she was just like, okay, Bran. Like, well, sorry if that's not what people call it where I'm from. I would check it out.
I mean, I don't think you need to rush to it. It'll be there. It's, you know, it's a one season thing. It's not going anywhere. But if you're like, man, you know what? I could use some, you know, if you want some historical fiction-y political intrigue type thing with some incredible performances. I mean, Beanie Feldstein as Monica Lewinsky and Sarah Paulson as Linda Tripp and Clive Owen as Bill Clinton. By the end, I'm like, I just thought those were the people. Like, they did a really, really excellent job.
Okay.
All right. So we filled out our B's and our F's, and now it's time for the final F. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to switch it up a little bit. Like we mentioned, it's normally best favorite forever. but this is all new stuff, hard to gauge it forever. So we're going to go best, favorite, and future and pick two shows each that we're looking forward to that we have not seen yet. So yeah, so future can mean shows that aren't out yet. They could also mean shows that maybe are out, but we haven't seen yet. So they're in our TV future, if you will. So a little bit of a looser definition, but you know, we're doing this for the first time. We're learning as we go. And a couple of things that I just want to name check that aren't on my list, but there's a show that's on Paramount. It's called Mayor of Kingstown. It's by Taylor Sheridan, who is the guy who created Yellowstone, actually, which is why I mentioned it, because we had mentioned Yellowstone. But it's set in a small Michigan town where like prisons are like the main employer. And it's about like this family who are like the local power brokers, kind of enforcers. And it stars Jeremy Renner, Diane Wiest, and Kyle Chandler. So I will be checking that out. It doesn't get a slot, but I will check that out. Hawkeye, a new Disney show, Marvel show, I'll check that out. There's a Beatles documentary that Peter Jackson's doing that I'm going to check out. And there's also one show that I will not be checking out. And I know we say there's no guilty pleasures on the show, but Brandy, I have to get your feedback on the show. Are you going to watch Food God on Discovery Plus, starring one Jonathan Chabon? Is that his name, right?
No. Not John. Yes. No, Dan, his name is Food God. Okay, legally.
Tell everyone who the Food God is and why we have a history with
so it. So the Food God is like, I guess he's like Kim Kardashian's like best friend.
Quote, air quotes, heavy air quotes. Best friend. Yeah.
Anyway, his whole social media presence is founded upon the fact that he, you know, shows really good food at all the restaurants that he goes to, because he can go everywhere and he has access to get everywhere.
A lot of gold leaf on his Instagram page. Say that much.
Yeah, like super expensive. Like this guy's just drinking Cristal and eating caviar. Is Cristal still a thing? Are we still drinking when we're being fancy?
Bringing it back.
I'm like stuck in 1998. But anyway, we have a history with him because Dan and I worked at a company together doing development, and we were developing this show with him.
Yeah.
Basically,
this is another one of those, Brandy. We called it 5 years too early.
But when we pitched it, people were like, "No thanks." Yeah. But it's like,
you know why? Because here's the thing: I will not be surprised when it doesn't take off. Because when we were pitching it, the uniform feedback was, "You want me to enjoy hanging out with this guy? You want me to root for this unlikable human?" Let's not get too rude. Again, no guilty pleasures. If you do watch Food God and you enjoy it, we're happy about that. We love that choice for you. That's just not for us. We understand the appeal. Hell, we developed with the guy years ago. We understand the appeal, just absolutely not for us. That's exactly. Brandy, what's something you have in your future slot? Something you're looking forward to watching?
I'm really looking forward to watching The Shrink Next Door.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
It's going to be on Apple TV Plus. It premieres at some point in November. Have already premiered. I don't know.
Probably out now, but yeah, you haven't seen it yet. So it's in your future. Yeah,
probably out now, but I haven't seen it. And I love the podcast.
Mm.
And it's just such an insane story. It's so Wondery is a really awesome podcasting company. And they are the ones that did Tiger King, which was a part of this series called Over My Dead Body, which is just crazy ass stories about people that wanted other people dead.
Yeah.
And so that's where I first heard about Joe Exotic.
Yeah.
And so when I saw that was going to be on Netflix, I was like, wait, what?
Tiger King season 2 coming out. We'll not be checking that out, but that's another, neither here nor there.
I mean, I'm probably not going to check it out, but like, I might check it out.
Research.
Even though
research.
Like, I feel like I know everything I need to know about that story.
Exactly.
There's nothing further needed.
You could check that one out on the clock and call it research, you know?
Yeah. But The Shrink Next Door stars Will Ferrell and Paul Rudd.
Oh, People's Sexiest Man, Paul Rudd.
Yes, finally getting the attention he deserves.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, Paul Rudd plays a therapist. Will Ferrell plays kind of like this sad sack, I mean, rich guy. But like basically the therapist like really like just insinuates himself into Will Ferrell's life and is like basically taking over his life. And it's just insane that this is a true story of something that happened. It's just like how slowly and like kind of methodically this guy like took over his life. And I can't wait to see it. Like, it was riveting to listen to. I really hope that translates to TV.
Okay. I love that.
But also one of our guests from last season is a writer on it, Miss Sass Goldberg.
Ooh, that's right. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's exciting. It was already on my list to check out, and now I just jumped several slots higher. That's very exciting. Yeah. Very exciting. Okay. The things I'm looking forward to are really going to explore the depths of my nerddom here. Now we're going to get into it.
Okay.
Tis the time of the year for a lot of nerd programming, and a lot of nerd tent poles come out around the holidays. So there's lots to look forward to. This one, though, I'm not sure anyone knows is happening. But I saw it and it wasn't even going to be on my list. I saw it researching like what's coming out today. And then I watched the trailer and I'm like, well, this has to take a spot. I'm sorry, but it has to. And it's called Harry Potter Hogwarts Tournament of Houses. It's airing on TBS.
What?
It is a game. It's a Harry Potter game show hosted by Helen fucking Mirren.
Wait, what?
Yes. It is I think it's like 4 episodes, so it counts as TV. And it, I mean, you know me, I love game shows.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Harry Potter nerd. In my younger days, when my hair was longer and shaggier, I went as Harry Potter for Halloween a couple of times. I've been told I look like Harry Potter for much of my young adult life. So yeah, I have a lot of ties to HP, and I fashion myself a bit of a, you know, armchair Harry Potter expert. So I'll be playing along at home. You know, the viewer play along will be strong in my household, and I'm really looking forward to it. So this morning when I woke up, I didn't think this was going to be on my highly anticipated future list, but it absolutely is. Harry Potter, Hogwarts Tournament of Houses, TBS, I think simulcast TBS and Cartoon Network. So, you know, they're doing it for the kids, but I'm one of them. So let's go.
Well, I'm ready. I have the trailer queued up for as soon as we're done.
This is the night you've been waiting for. I'm Helen Mirren, and I have the absolute pleasure of being your host for this rather magical event. Gryffindor, Hufflepuff, Slytherin, and Ravenclaw. They'll compete in a head-to-head trivia match about all things Potter. House versus house. Sophia, how Gryffindor are you?
I'm pretty sure I'm as Gryffindor as you get.
You think you know everything about the wizarding world? Then, boy, do I have a challenge for you.
It looks like a lot of fun. And again, co-viewing. Adults and kids alike, get into it.
Oh my God, Mo's going to be so mad at me when I make him watch this. Well, my other thing that I'm looking forward to actually had one season already that I have not seen. And so I actually want to watch that season and then start to watch the newest season, which starts, hopefully it hasn't already started because I'm already behind.
Yeah.
But that is How To with John Wilson.
Yes.
I'm really looking forward to it was something that like I really meant to watch. I've really been meaning to watch it and I have it. And like now like I'm going to make the time.
Incredible pick. I raved about the show at the end of last year. I absolutely loved it. It was one of my favorite shows of 2020. I can't wait for it to come back. I can't wait to see how it changes because the first season was produced in the months leading up to COVID. And obviously the second was produced during. So, but it's very much a show about kind of like being out in and not spying on, but just observing the public. You know, the whole thing was observing other people. It was very kind of like a, you know, voyeuristic experience, unlike anything I've ever seen. Wow. Okay. Good one. I love that. I think How To comes out late November. So.
Oh, awesome.
For my second slot, I had a couple things that I was going back and forth between. The Book of Boba Fett on Disney Plus, I'm very excited about. There's this fantasy Amazon show called The Wheel of Time that's based on like this, you know, crazy long series of books. And it's like, you know, Rosamund Pike doing magic, sort of, you know, fantasy vibes. I'm looking forward to that. But the one I'm looking forward to more than any that kind of is in this same sort of realm is a limited series called Station 11. Have you heard of Station 11? It was a book first.
I read the book.
You read the book?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like the book?
Hold on. I'm Googling it right now. because I know I read it, but I just want to make sure that I'm not getting this confused with.
Yeah. So it was a 2014 novel by Emily St. John Mandel.
Yes. I did read this. I'm seeing the end in my head right now.
Here's the thing. It's about a global pandemic that wipes out a majority of the population. So if that's going to be triggering, I totally understand, but I really want you to give it a chance. The story itself was awesome. I really, really like the story. It has a lot of like kind of theatrical and kind of lyrical underpinnings to it, which is really cool. It flashes forward. So I don't think we're actually going to spend a ton of time with the actual like pandemic itself that might be triggering for folks. I think we're going to kind of breeze ahead, and because a majority of the story takes place like in the world that springs up post pandemic, this kind of, you know, post-apocalyptic thing. But it's coming from creators Patrick Somerville, who did Made for Love, a recent show that I haven't checked out that's on my list, and Hiro Murai, who is a big person behind Atlanta and some other like really, really, really great stuff. And it looks awesome. I dare anyone to watch this trailer and not get full body chills. That's what I did right before we started this recording, and I can't stop thinking about it. It's going to be on HBO Max, comes out in December. I'm not sure if it'll be out all at once or it'll be week to week, but I am highly, highly anticipating Station 11, and I think it's going to be really good. It looks the trailer. It might be the best trailer I've seen in a long time. I really, really enjoyed it.
I'm definitely going to watch the trailer. I feel like I read too many books, because I read so many books that like then I like immediately forget about them after I read them. Like I just went back and looked at this and I was like, wow, when did I read this? Because I definitely read it. Like I remembered everything that was going on, but I was like, why? That's so, I must have read it when it came out in like 2014. So I can't be faulted for not, I just got it mixed up with another post-apocalyptic book that I don't think a movie has been made of, but I might not have gotten it mixed up. It might be the same thing.
That's the thing. And I'm trying not to get my hopes up too much, because there's so many post-apocalyptic stories. We went through a real good run there. There's a book called The Passage that I'm a huge fan of. It's a trilogy and it's a post-apocalyptic thing. And it got adapted into a Fox series and they just totally fucking whiffed. I did not like it at all. So I'm extremely excited, but also a little bit cautiously optimistic. It looks really, really good. And the people behind it are all really good. And the ensemble cast looks really good. Mackenzie Davis, a whole bunch of great people. But, you know, want to be careful just in case, because, you know, you never quite know. You never quite know.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. I finished a book yesterday. Then I just found out that Charlize Theron has optioned it and is making a series out of it. And I was like, wow, like that's a great idea. It's called if you're a big reader and you like scary books, it's called The Final Girls Support Group.
Ooh, cryptic.
And it's about, there's always a final girl in all of the, in every scary movie. It's the girl that gets away.
Oh, interesting.
And so each of the girls in this group is basically based on like a scary movie from our youth. So there's like the story that's like Freddy Krueger. There's a story that's like Jason. There's a story that's like Michael Myers and Halloween.
Oh,
and these are all like the final girls.
Cool.
And this isn't giving anything away, because the book literally starts with one of them ends up dead and they realize that like somebody's still after them.
Okay, right on.
Like somebody's after the final girls. And I was like, that's going to be a great series. And the whole time I was reading the book, I was like, I feel like this is on TV right now.
Nice. Nice. That's a cool premise. I dig that.
Yeah.
And you're right. Like, yeah, no brainer. That should absolutely be a TV show or a movie. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that'll be a future when we do like next year.
Exactly.
Because it'll probably come out like in 2022.
Well, speaking of, before we wrap up, a couple upcoming things to look out for. So obviously you're getting this bonus episode, this kind of current criteria. We have a couple more bonus episodes coming up. We're going to do a little highlights from some of our earliest recordings. Brandy and I, we did a couple test episodes in the early days. So, and some of that stuff is really good. And because we have some cool friends that pick some cool shows, even back when we were still figuring out what the format was and how it was all going to work. And we want you to hear it. So we're going to do a little best of the test shows. And then we're going to do like a year end best of the year criteria situation that we still haven't quite figured out, but it'll be some sort of like, you know, 2021 year end deal. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, Brandy, where can everyone follow us and find us?
You guys can follow us on Instagram at TVBFF Podcast. And you can also email us your six. We still want to hear from you. And you can email us at TVBFFpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. Send us your own personal TVBFF. And you know what? Have fun with it. If you want it to be a current criteria, have at it. If you want it to be your all-time six, let's do it. We're having fun with this. We've been pretty strict in the past, and we will continue to be when we get back to our interviews and more on that coming up for season two, which is in the works. But in the meantime, we're going to have some fun. So send us whatever's on your mind. Send us what you're watching. We'd love to hear from you. And until next time, bye, friends.
Bye, friends.